Another opportunity to come before you with a few thoughts, and and since it's kind of last minute, the fill-in, I've got some notes that I started from our discussion in Bible class that I think could help to lay the foundation on the next opportunity we come together to continue those thoughts we had around motivation, developing good habits and the like, and our character as Christians. And this morning, we started out in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and we'll use that as kind of a scripture reading for this evening to talk about how important our thoughts are to that topic of what motivates us, to the topic of developing good habits and the like. So if you'll go ahead and prepare your text there at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll read that here shortly. And I got to be real mindful of time tonight because I have a lot of notes, but for the Bible class, and I've got to now retrofit it to this. So I will make a hard stop if I need to. But one of the thoughts that we were having toward the end of our Bible class this morning was how important it is for us to make sure that our thoughts are aligned with God's will and how important that is. Because those thoughts then, once they germinate, they lead to our habits. They then feed into our character, which manifests itself in the results that we see every day in ourselves, in our own personal development, and we can see it in other people. But by our thoughts, again, I was not referring to those uninvited thoughts that kind of pop into your mind and are fleeting, but more along the lines of how we choose to think. Is where I was going with that, and I wanted to distinguish the two, because how we choose to think then dictates how, you know, our habits. It dictates how we'll behave. Some might even refer to the way we think as our worldview or our paradigm. The way we process or filter through things that we see or are engaged with in the world that we live in today. So whether or not you're willing to accept it, we all have a worldview. And so it's important that we recognize it. Whether or not we recognize it or not, we still have it. But it is important to recognize it. Unless we are intentional about building our worldview, I mentioned a little bit toward the end of our Bible class this morning, unless we are intentional about building our worldview, the world will do it for us. And as I mentioned, the world is biding for your attention in every aspect of your life. At work, at school, especially at school if you're a student, and at play. And unless we are intentional about building our worldview and realize that the world will do it for us, if we think that our view will just happen, sort of by osmosis, without taking an intentional approach to it, well, we're deceiving ourselves. You ever been to, for those of you who have traveled, you ever been to a country, just somewhere else, and there's an accent? You don't even have to be to a different country. You could be in a different state. You ever live in the South for a while, and you start getting that Southern drawl, and you know you're not from the South? Same thing. You go every now and again just to mess with me because she knows I don't like it. Nardia start talking like she's from England because she went to school there. And I'm like, girl, stop playing with me. Oh, because I love Italian food, and every now and then I get on this where I'm watching Lydia Bastianich, and she starts tutti a tavola, I'm mangiare. I'm not just rolling off my tongue like that. I was like, yeah. She goes, no, Gary, that's just black Italian. You ain't got that. You don't know what you... she will tell me, you're not Italian, just stop playing with me. The point I'm making is we can easily, mentally, be persuaded, right, to just kind of take on different identities, different values, things, you know, and some of it is harmless, you know, it's kind of harmless to like Italian food, watch Lydia Bastianich, it's harmless to refer to your roots if you're from another country, it's really harmless. But just to give you some, and I'm a little tongue-in-cheek there, but just to give you some idea of how easily it is for us mentally to adapt to another worldview. It can be just that easy if we just wait for something to happen. If we aren't intentional about how we see things, how we process things in our mind, and then for it, how we behave because of that process or after that process. Because again, how we think determines the habits we build into our lives. As Christians, we need to start with the Word of God and be diligent about developing a biblical worldview. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. Verse 4 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and even lofty opinions raised against the knowledge of God. And we take every thought captive to obey Christ. That phrase, taking every thought captive, that's to live intentionally about how you think. Live intentionally about how you think. Guarding your mind so that it is captive to obey Christ. Verse 6, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. It is critical that we develop an intentional biblical worldview. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 through 8. Offers another perspective from the master teacher. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. You know, this scripture I read because, again, developing that biblical worldview isn't going to happen on happen chance. Coming here to church and merely warming the pew, not studying, not giving an attentive ear, so that you can apply what is being said into your life, apply and make sure it dictates how you think, alters how you think. If you're not allowing the Word of God to do that, then again, you're just warming a bench. And I know the temperature is pretty good in here. It can warm itself. It doesn't need your help. You have to let the Word of God get into your heart. And I don't mean the feel good. I mean the is good, because you believe what God is saying defines what is good. You're going to need it because the world's view would have you second guess that. It's so obvious to me now. I don't know if it's because I'm getting older or I've been at this Christianity thing for a while, so that when I hear something that is in opposition to God's view, I'm like, are you kidding me? Surely they can't be serious. But the world is very serious about its views. And we need to be as serious or even more serious about God's view. Let's look at Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Now, why do we need to be transformed? If we're made in the image of God, what is this idea of being transformed? God knows that we are in this world. And for it, he knows that it's the world's view that we need to be transformed from. He knows this. So scripturally, we can read, it says, do not be conformed to this world, already telling us the perspective we ought to have in our headspace about the world's view. Well, what about all these other people? You've heard it. You've heard some people come to you. Do you think you're the members of the Church of Christ? You guys think you guys are the only one going to heaven? Have you heard that? You've heard it. As if we wrote Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 and following. We didn't write that. That's in the Bible. There is one God. One hope. We didn't write that. It's there, though. You start reading that, and now you're talking, that's intentional biblical worldview, right? Versus the world. The world will have you believe you can do whatever you want. God is love. There's no hell. We can just... and we're going to heaven. God is love. The scripture tells us, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what the will of God is. That's a biblical worldview. And we need that to discern what the will of God is, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Oh, we don't get to determine that? No, you don't. But I'm a good person, not good enough. The best mankind can do will not be better than what God is. So we'll always be needing to refer to his word to intentionally develop our biblical worldview. How we choose to think matters to God. Now, let the world tell it there's a lot of different views. You just name it and put an ism on it. That's the world's, you know, theism, Catholicism, that's still theism, religious. There's any number of worldviews. But the Bible is very clear. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. The Bible is very clear. It's so clear, it makes so much sense, that it astonished the people when Christ came to teach it. They said, we'll get to that, but just let's look at Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. It says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. Okay? That's man's view. That's the world's view. Let's look at John chapter 3, verse 36. John chapter 3, I hope I'm getting this in the right order, but if not, bear with me. This is the part that I knew was going to be a little bit of a challenge for me. Verse 35 to start. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. Verse 36. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not, here's the different view. You've got one view, here's the different view. But to note the difference, whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. Let's look at Matthew chapter 7. And verse 24. It says, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them, intentional biblical worldview, and does them, will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. An intentional biblical world view. Verses, verse 26. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell, and great was the fall of it. As far as God is concerned, I don't care what you learned in school. The school can get you just smart enough to keep you out of heaven. That's free. I won't charge you for that. As far as God's concerned, there's his view and there's man's view. That's it. It's very simple. And however way that they can break this part of up, and make it really sound really sophisticated with an ism after every little different view, you go ahead, Google it. There must be maybe 9, maybe 20 different world views. Yeah. There's God's view and there's man's view. And according to the scripture, it behooves us all to second guess man's view. Prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. I don't care how fancy it sounds, how sophisticated it's articulated. If it ain't God's view, it's wrong. And it's worth looking at it and putting it through the filter of God's view, because, see, I live intentionally towards God's view. So when you come up to me and you tell me there are 20 different genders, listen. Amen, Walls. You can keep telling me all of that. You want keep on with that insane energy. That's fine. But when you come to me and you ask my opinion, you're going to get it. And after, you know, any more today, you got to kind of wait to be invited for that, because you can really upset some folks. There's the world view and there's God's view. God doesn't care about all that fancy talk. He keeps it simple. And, you know, if we kept it simple, we wouldn't be in this mess. We kept pursuing our lives intentionally toward God's biblical view, the world we live in today wouldn't be as much of a hot mess that it is right now. I can't even keep up. It makes no sense at all. Even when the world tells you it makes no sense, you best believe that God's not happy with it. You don't know whether to say he, her, his, them, they, that, the other. I'm just telling you. I was telling Artie the other day. Never mind, that's nothing. Okay, I better back up. I'm going to back up a little bit. I don't know. Never mind. I was talking, you know, that latest with the shooting, and I think it was a transgender, and they were just making sure you say the proper pronoun to recognize this person. And I said, as far as I'm concerned, the best pronoun for that shooter, right? They didn't know if it was boy or girl, and identifying as a girl or a boy. I'm just saying your proper pronoun was and were. How about that? That's free. I really have to charge you for that. I probably have to charge you for that joke. John chapter 15, verse 5, here we'll read in a minute. If we don't take our thoughts captive, as we read about in 2 Corinthians, if we don't take our thoughts captive, have you ever heard the expression, an overactive imagination? Have you ever heard that? It gets us, oh man, whew, that overactive imagination, man, once it gets stirred up, there's one, it can change your whole world view, that imagination. And for my overactive imagination, I have one, whew, I constantly, because I'm creative. I like to create. I like to do creative things. You know, I'm just not, you know. I mean, for goodness sake, I learned Black Italian. Come on now. I like to do creative stuff. Either in the kitchen or crocheting or knitting, you know. The craft side of me, I just, but I had to nail it down. I had to nail it down big time. Get some structure around that. The Bible is filled with God's thoughts, thoughts that will be helpful to anyone who applies them. However, if we really want to understand them and make them our own ways, we need to have, like anything we want to understand and make our own, think about that. It's not rocket science. Anything you want to make your own, you have to have a relationship with it. That's anything. I don't care if it's a spouse, the children, you know? Well, goodness, I even do that with my plants. I love my plants, but I gotta read up on some of them because some of them are a little high maintenance. They have requirements. Why should God be any different? Why should our lives, living intentionally for developing our biblical worldview, be any different? It's not really, no. In order to make sure that we understand what the will of God is, we need to have a relationship with him. That relationship with him causes us to get on our knees and pray, causes us to engage one another and stir one another up towards righteousness. When we're feeling short or feeling down, be encouraged by each other. When we fall and we need to get back up, knowing that this church family is going to embrace me, knowing that God will forgive me because God knows me. How does he know me? Well, I have a relationship with him. And I know when I'm not doing the right thing. I can know that. And I can know it without just going to a scripture to figure it out. It's in my heart. It's with me everywhere. You know when you've offended God in your behavior, in your actions, your words. Only way you can know that is if you got a relationship with him. There are some people in the world that we live in today don't even know when they're offending one another. No idea whatsoever. And it's just, they don't even think about it. They just do something offensive. They don't even think about it. And it's really interesting to me. I had an occasion just yesterday. I was in... We were doing some gardening stuff, Nardia and I. We were picking up flowers, and she's trying to decide, hey, I want this or that, I don't know. So I was like, well, we need a grown-up because we're not deciding, and I need to get out of this store because I'm doing too much shopping. I didn't like it, so I was losing my patience. So I called for some assistance, and one of the ladies over at Kanoya Gardens Nursery comes up. She starts explaining, and I said, well, we need something that's part shade, part sun. And we're going to start going into detail and showing her pictures of where we're going to put this. And I said, what she wants is something like this. And but I just out of nowhere, this lady comes up. She goes, do you work here? Talking to the lady that's helping me. Do you work here? Everybody that works here wears purple. Has a purple shirt on. Sort of like walking into Target. Someone's got khakis and red. And you ask, of course they work here. They got a name tag. She's got her whole company name on the back. I don't know. Not that that matters, but did you do your work here? Well, yeah, she's working with me right now. But that's okay. I'm right here, and I'm showing her pictures to those ladies over here. Do you work here? She goes, yeah, I work here. Well, could you tell me? I said, could you let her finish working with me before you ask your question? She's helping me right now. Oh, I'm sorry. She walks away. But that's how easy we can do stuff to offend another person, really. You don't even think about it. It's nothing. Because my worldview means I got to have an answer right now. Only problem is, so did I. Just answering your question is going to keep me in this store longer than I want to be. You need to hush. I was like this. I couldn't even hang out with Nadia. She was the one that got, Garrett, where are you going, Garrett? I said, I'm going to the door because it's closer that way. I didn't know. Okay, come back, Garrett. Come back. The thing about it is we can do things that are just offensive. We don't even know. We don't realize. So we know when we've offended God. We can know that. When we have a relationship with him. That is why we come to church. And that's why we do more than just come to church. We engage when we get here. We find out who's been sick, who hasn't been here. Is there something you need? We want to put skin in the game. We want to see your face. We want to see you smiling and feeling good. If you're not here, Ray's not here. Oh, you start to wonder, well, how's Ray doing? Gonna be okay? You know, we got questions. Because again, we have a relationship with Ray. We want to make sure he's okay. When we do that, when we come here, when we get engaged with one another, we're developing a relationship with God through each other. I felt like I had a scripture out there and then didn't read it. John chapter 15. Did I say John 15? Or? Let's look at 15:5. John chapter 15. Maybe I didn't read that. Ask you that. Let's look at this. John chapter 15, verses 5 and following. This is our Lord and Savior saying here. He says, I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, the caveat is, I don't even know if it's a caveat, to be honest with you, but I'll put that in there. You got to have a relationship with him. Because if you don't have a relationship with him and you're apart from him, you might not even know why your life is a mess. You just figure it's bad luck. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, that intentional, biblical world view. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Now, that's power. That's some power I need to get me motivated to go from one day to the next and the next, until heaven my home. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. That scripture reminds us that if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. I express, not the last Bible class, but the one before it, is that your motivations will find you out. That which you are moved by will find you out because it becomes part of you. If you want to be effective, i.e. bear much fruit, if you want to be effective, you must continue to be rooted in God's view. Rooted in Jesus. Rooted in his word. James chapter 2 and verse 17, and then I'm going to have to stop. James chapter 2 and verse 17. So also faith by itself, it does not have works. Rather, if is the condition there. Faith, also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. You know, we always say this, when it bears repeating, even the devil believes in God. What you going to do to be different? In the same way, faith by itself is not accompanied by, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. You know, some will say they have faith, I believe, but they don't have any works to show for it. How do you know what that is? How do you know what that is? It has to be accompanied with deeds. And when you work towards that, you're developing a biblical worldview. Your faith accompanied with your works shows your worldview. Now, Are your works those that would please God, or just what would please man? Is what your speech is like when you're around the world pleasing to God, or is it pleasing to man? How you think in your opinions when they ask you, if you're ever invited, about the world's view. I don't want any problems, so okay. And you switch it up. Okay? This morning we had a whole lesson about being a coward, what that looks like. You know, when you start thinking about being canceled, you start thinking about being, talked about, not part of the world's in crowd, and the pressure of being bullied by the world because you don't adopt their view, it make you get kind of scary out there. Everything happens for a reason. I didn't tell Austin to teach that lesson this morning about being a coward and what that looks like, fear. But it was very interesting how that can also dictate how you think about God's word, how intentional or unintentional you might be. Maybe I'm a sometimey Christian because sometimes I'm in the world and I got family, I got friends that have a different view. Okay. What are you going to do about that? Do you change yours because of family? Do you then sign up for certain things because you got family members? How did you think this stuff happened? How did you think it happened that the worldview got to be so strong? Because they've got family. And they didn't want to tell the family member, no, that's wrong. That's wrong. That's not right. Okay, 2 + 2 = 4. Always has been, it's always going to be. Just because you don't like it doesn't change that 2 + 2 = 4. So you don't need to go on a whole trajectory of your life's mission to make 2 + 2 = 5. You don't have to do that. But if you're going to, I'm telling you now, you're wrong. That conversation didn't happen in the development of the world's view. And they said, 2 + 2 = 5, and 5 matters in that context. No, it don't. The only way it matters, if you put a 3 in there with the 2, then you get 5. You can figure it out where I'm going with this. Do the math. Do the worldview math. It's there for you. They're abandoning truth in order to pursue a world's view. They have to, because to God, there's only His and the world. And He is encouraging us every day to continue to have our relationship with Him. Encouraging us every day to put the world's view through the filter of God and live intentionally for God. That's the only way you're going to combat this world's view that's trying to take you away from God, take you away from what is right to do, take you away from righteous living. This wasn't a lesson necessarily to encourage you to become a Christian, but I sure hope it reaffirmed how important it is. How important it is to have something you can reference that is a rock and not a sand. Something you can build your life on. Something that gives you a foundation. Because we are living in sandy times. to make the Bible make sense, right? We are living to, everything is just very fluid. There's no right, there's no wrong, no light and darkness, no heaven or hell. It's whatever you want it to be. Yeah, no. No. And don't find out after you leave this life that it didn't work out that way. So, I hope that encourages you to continue with all that God has provided, the Bible, Jesus, his example in our lives, the Holy Spirit helps us understand the Word, God and his provisions he's made for us, the church and its function to keep us on the right path, to allow us to read the Word of God when sometimes we just get a little too busy in the week and the only way we heard it was when we came through those doors. I know. It happens. But lest you forsake the assembly, you still can get what God has planned for you by being here and taking that time to study. Prayer and its function in our lives, all of this is to help us to build that relationship with God and have an intentional biblical worldview. Anyone else need something else? Please be sure to come forward as we stand and sing the song that's selected.